Yeah, so this is one of those cold opening thingies that happens from time to time. Oddly enough, this one happens immediately upon my return from being on the road. Welcome. Hi, howdy. It is 6 p.m. Eastern Time. It is the 10th day of November, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. Me, I'm Bob Kincaid. And I, as promised, I got home in time to get in the chair and get broadcasting after being on the road from D.C. all day. Yay! So good evening, everyone. If you would like to be part of the madcap multimedia wacky zany real time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, you're welcome to run on over to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, click on chat room, and pick yourself out a free screen name and a free password. And just like that, you'll be in there, and you will be greeted by Earther and Silent R. Lamar and Ralps and Squeaky and Steve from Georgistan. Don't know if Anatole knew we were going to be on the air or not this evening. But yes, we are, in fact, on the air. No tune in yet. Okie doke. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. I presume we're coming through on HeadOn.live. Open question as to whether we're coming through on WhiteRoseSociety.org. And nothing we can really do but wait in that regard, because that controls tune in and everything else. Huh. Rats. Hey, well, it's been a big, long week. Hey, nothing happened while I was gone, did it? I mean, like, it was all just quiet and serene, and that, you know, everything, the background music was that piece from the 1812 overture that's just, you know, with the sun coming up in the morning. No, things happened. Okay, thanks, Steve from Georgistan. No White Rose either, Bob. Well, that's just freaking beautiful. Didn't really get back in time to, well, I didn't expect to have to tech the entire system when I got back. Not that I could really tech the White Rose Society. All right, stand by. Let's see if we can, okay, and stop, and you stop. No, that's the wrong one. Wrong. Okay, that's right. There. And we'll restart the recording there. Still nothing. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Steve. Steve from Georgistan, good to have you back, Captain. Thank you ever so kindly. Brother Deacon Asa echoing an email I got earlier in the week from Scott and Punky. Asa says, by the way, you're not allowed to go to D.C. again. Every time you seem to go to D.C., a mass shooting happens. Last time it was Las Vegas, this time Texas. I understand that. Let's see. What exactly did Scott and Punky say? Just one second. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Subject line, stop it. Never mind connecting Billable Rick's visits to music events for the deaths of popular entertainers. It seems that lately when you travel, there's a mass shooting, so stop it, damn it. I get it. No, believe me, I do. It's worrisome. Earther, never leave again. Never leave again. Never leave again. Look at all that happened while you were gone. Oh, and but with everything that happened, I can provide a little bit of context, maybe. So you know that every time I go to D.C., I wind up driving past the blood-soaked headquarters of the National Rifle Association, America's Death Lottery. And consequently, I see things that other people might not see. Let's see, what's this about? Okay, that's taken care of. No, I drive past Death Lottery headquarters. And you have to take this into account. All the federal buildings, all the official, well, shucks, even non-official buildings, there were. I mean, given all of the conniptions that people have had in recent memory lately about how and if we appropriately and properly and with necessary and due obsequiousness revere and honor the flag of the United States of America, all over D.C. ever since Las Vegas, and I'm guessing this was following on the heels of, it had to be following on the heels of Sutherland, Texas, because we were more than 30 days from the Las Vegas NRA death lottery. So flags were flying at half staff all over. Over the Capitol, in front of court buildings. I mean, flags were flying at half staff. There were flags flying at half staff at places that weren't government buildings, come to think of it. I noticed these things. I can't really help it. Guess where the flag of the United States of America is not flying at half mast? Huh? Anybody? That's right. Atop the NRA headquarters. I noticed it on the way out of town today, flying free and at full height, flapping in freedom's breeze with no lowering of the flag for the latest recipients of the NRA Medal of Freedom. I'm calling it the Tree of Liberty Medal. If we had a bunch of money here at the Horn, we'd have medals struck, and it would be a little golden scroll with 2A written on it, and maybe crossed assault rifles at the bottom, and little enameled rivulets of blood running, paint running down the little golden scroll, and everybody who gets shot in the United States would get one of these, kind of the way anybody who gets injured in combat in the military gets a Purple Heart. But no, at NRA headquarters, the flag is not at half-mast because there is nothing to grieve for. There's nothing to be sad about. You lower the flag to half-staff in this country in recognition of a time of mourning, of grief. Well, the NRA has nothing to grieve for. Because whether it be Sutherland Springs, Texas, or Las Vegas, Nevada, Blacksburg, Virginia, Aurora, Colorado, Orlando, Florida, well, that's just freedom. The Tree of Liberty must be fed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. You know, that's what we're going to call it. That's what we're going to call the award. We're going to call it the NRA Natural Manure Award. I'll try to keep this in my mind so that the next time one of these things happens when we read off the names of the dead, we will appropriately note them as being recipients of the NRA Natural Manure Award. Gosh, does that seem insensitive? I don't mean it to seem insensitive. I mean it as a means of paying some sort of tribute to people who otherwise go without being remarked upon, save for the fact that they got shot and or killed. And then we just move on and wait for the NRA's wheel of death to spin and spin and spin and stop on the name of yet another community. The NRA Natural Manure Award. 26 recipients, ranging in age from 19 months to elderly people. Because freedom, because it's just the price we pay. And of course, who's a big supporter of the National Rifle Association? Well, of course, Judge Roy Moore. Of Alabama. The law west of Guntersville Lake. Because, yes, I did. I paid more attention than maybe you think. It was a busy week in D.C. Truly a busy week. Scott and Punky with a note. Ouch! Glad you're back. What happened while I was gone, you ask? Well, I needed to find new ways to occupy my copious free time this week, and I ended up wrecking my back pitching horseshoes. Note to self, next time, remove them from the horse first. Ah! Just a tiny, tiny jingle for that. Sorry, gotta answer questions. Roy Moore. Big, I mean, because remember him standing on stage down in Baldwin County, Alabama with his two little cowboy hat and his two little pistol, with his two creepy leather vest. Festus, yeah, Marshall Dillon, yeah, right. Yeah. Billable Rick says the United States flag is it also flying at Hitler's bunker? too early, Rick, too early. Oh, before we jump into get too far into things, I got something I have to do here because I've got a week's worth of thank yous. I promised a fundraising free Friday, and we will have that. But I also promised the thank yous. And we will have that as well. We've got subscribers over just via PayPal, and we've got Horn subscribers via the Patreon campaign as well. And I want everyone to be recognized. This will only take a minute. Sorry. So, thanks go out in reverse order to our subscribers. Thank you to Alex in Kentucky. Thank you, Alex. And to Don. Thank you, Don. Long time supporter of the program. Thanks to Judy in New York. And thanks very kindly to J. Joshua in Michigan. Thank you very kindly to Kathleen in Minnesota and to Brother Deacon Gerald, as well as to Khalil in Texas. Thanks to Ralphs, and thanks very kindly to Brian. Thank you, Brian. Thank you very kindly to Nancy and to Tom in PA. Thank you, Tom. Thanks to Dwayne in PA. Thank you very kindly, Dwayne. Thanks to Marcia in Oregon. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. Thank you to Alma along the way. Thanks very much to our buddy Dr. Allen in Texas. Thank you to Reed in California. Thank you to Jules. Thanks, Jules. Just have to. There we go. Thanks to Kitty in Boston. Thank you, Kitty. Thank you to Bob in North Carolina. Thanks very much to Laurel in Minnesota. And to Chris in Germany. Thank you, Chris. Thank you to Sal. Thanks to Alex in New York. Thanks to Brock in PA. Thank you to Don. Thank you very kindly, Don. And thanks to Kim in New Jersey. Let's see. Thank you very kindly to James in Illinois. Thanks to Paul. Thank you, Paul. And thank you to Catherine in California. And thanks, of course, to our buddy Thomas in Ohio. Thank you very, very much indeed. So I think, and with just a little bit more effort, oh, that's one more thing that I have to. And then, of course, over on. Sorry, I don't mean to be. This is necessary. This beats the devil out of commercials, doesn't it? Yes. So thank you very kindly to Eric in Pennsylvania, Bamistan, and thanks to Jeremy in Vermont, and to Asa, Brother Deacon Asa. Thanks to Terrace and Nick and our buddy Horst. Thank you, Horst. Thank you to Robin. And thank you to John. Thank you to Frank and Peg, and thank you to Rocky and David and Patrick. Make sure I don't miss anybody. Thank you to Barb. Thank you, Barb. And I just want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Thank you, Karen. And thank you to John. Johannes, our old buddy Johannes. So that's everybody who's made it possible, kept everything going while I was gone. And thanks to all of them, we're pretty much okay. So it is in fact a fundraising free Friday on the Horn. Yay! And now we can get back to the business of Friday on the Front Porch, which it is. Namely, here in about 40 minutes or so, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. And we will then proceed with the conversation that makes Fridays so very special here on the Horn. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch before, by all means, if you'd like to, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunk, Sparky Dunk on Skype, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail and light up the bob signal for you so that you can find your way into the conversation. Now, as I was mentioning, Roy Moore, God's best friend, is a big, big fan of the NRA. And of course, you know what happened in the last day or so. Well, the goddess of irony, when you are in her good graces, she does little things for you. Now, granted, she won't hand you the lottery. She won't win you the Powerball or anything. The goddess of irony would like let you win the Powerball if it was like the last day of your life or something, and there was no way you could ever enjoy any of it. The goddess of irony would give you that. But along the way, she just provides these little surprises, these little tiny gifts, and I got one this week. While we were in D.C., we stayed in a motel well out away from the city because, the 8 campaign doesn't have stay in D.C. money. So instead, we stayed a ways out beyond the Beltway. And lo and behold, it was like old home week. I got up one morning. Oh, my God. Tuesday morning, just to see which would be better, driving in or riding in, we took the Metro. We rode almost fully half of the entire, we rode the entire, a little more than the western half of the Blue Line. For those of you who know D.C., it is a long and circuitous route. It was, in a word, nauseating. So I put my foot down and said, no more. I don't care how bad the traffic is. We're driving. Because it was. And, you know, there's an art to driving those trains. It was stop and start and roll and jounce and ugh. And I was as green as if I'd been on the rolling seas in a storm. But we did the job that we went to do. And if you would like to see the briefing that the Eight campaign, in conjunction with our genial and kind host, Representative John Yarmuth, put together. Well, you can just go to my Twitter feed, at Bob Kincaid on Twitter, and scroll down through my timeline. You'll see the video there. And it should be the whole thing. And it should be quite informative. Of course, many of you know a bunch of the stuff that was said in the briefing already, simply because you've heard about it on this program. But anyway, we got back, and then I went out the next morning getting ready to go, jump out into traffic, you know, the absolute abject joy that is a leisurely drive up 395 into town. And there sat a tour bus, all in black, and all I could see on the back of it was in scripted letters, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Yes, it was Old Home Week there at the Bates Motel on the Potomac. There were, in fact, a whole bunch of middle school kids that were visiting D.C. along with some parents and some chauffeurs and whatnot. I was pretty sure, it was a Christian school. Know how I knew? Because all the children on the bus and all the people with all the children on the bus were white. And frankly, Christian school is another way of saying white school in Alabama. And so there they were down there in the lobby having the free breakfast every morning. I went down and I counted myself lucky because they had some little mini cups of Chobani yogurt and a banana. So I had a banana and a yogurt every morning. I stayed away as if they were festooned with the plague. I stayed away from those weird little greasy, rubbery pucks that pass for sausage. Oh, no. No, no, no. And I took a pass on the powdered eggs, too. And I know better than to go and play with the waffle iron, because I'll just drown that thing in high fructose corn syrup, pancake syrup, and yeah, well, it ain't a good thing. So I got to know some of them, and you know, we just chatted and found out where they were from, and said, "Oh yes, I've stopped there many a time. Lovely peaches there." Because it's peach growing region, and they really are delicious peaches. And so by this morning, I was able to, with the breaking news, the Roy Moore news, Roy Tola Moore, I was able to ask a few of them just in idle conversation. So what do you think about what they're saying about Roy Moore? Bear in mind, there were a couple of kids wandering around with their Make America Great Again hats on. Okay, let me back up here for a second. Brother Deacon Asa says, wait, you mean to tell me there's an actual person driving the D.C. Metro train? What century is this again, Bob? Well, I don't think a computer could drive a train that badly. The lurching and the rolling and the hard stops and the computer can't do that. That takes skill, talent. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be firing off an email to the D.C. Metro people. I guess there are a lot of people who just know how to count stops, and they ride it every day, so it's no big deal. But every speaker, and, you know, they announce the stops and everything, but every speaker, the PA system on every train on the D.C. Metro sounds like Miss Othmar from Linus and Charlie Brown's class. And then the doors open and the doors close, and you don't know if you've missed your stop or not. Or if you should get off or get on or get on and get off. I mean, well, we'll leave that to Roy Moore. But really, that begs a solution. I can't be the first person who's a little bit frustrated with that. Let me see here. Are we live? Asks Steve in New York. We are. I take it then that the stop and the restart of the White Rose stream was to no effect. I'll find that out. So anyway, by this morning, I was my final conversation because I was getting ready to get out of town. What do y'all think of what they're saying about Roy Moore? I don't think there's a word of truth to it. Can't be true. Why would a girl sit around all these years and just come out and all of a sudden say something like that? They're just trying, and this is kind of when it was confirmed for me that I was dealing with a Christian school too, otherwise known as white school. They're just trying to take down a good Christian man who wants to bring Christian values to the Senate. That's all they're going to do. That's all they want to do. And of course, the news yesterday evening was all alight with various and sundry people people on the TV being amazed that somebody from Alabama, like, say, the head of the Alabama Republican Party, who said, now look, y'all. Joseph was a full-grown man, and Mary was a teenager, and they gave birth to Jesus. So there ain't no crime here. It's perfectly all right. You know what the definition of an Alabama virgin is? 14-year-old girl who can outrun Roy Moore. Oh, that was bad. I'll go to hell for that one. Doug Jones had a chance. Doug Jones had a chance of beating Roy Moore because the voter turnout was going to be minuscule. And whoever got the vote out better was going to win that election. Because remember, Roy Moore got the nomination by winning a runoff in which only 15% of the voters in Alabama participated. So there were a whole lot of people staying home. But now that he's been accused of kiddie diddling 32 years ago, well, the Baptists are all up in arms. And they can't stand it. See, it's just like Jesus told us in the Bible. He's being persecuted for his name's sake. Well, thank you for the dispensation, Silent R. Lamar. Silent R. Lamar says, no, Bob, that was a good one. You're not going to hell for that one. In the old church, you used to have to buy indulgences like that. I just got that one for free from Silent R. Lamar. Thank you, Silent R. Lamar. Yes, Earther, as a matter of fact, they are. Rapey, child molesty, Christian values, precisely. So, subject line from Steve in New York. You're going to hate me. First of all, fuck Roy Moore. Second of all, count me skeptical. The timing is just too political. However, I will say this. I suspect that Mitch McConnell is behind this, wanting him to be beaten. By the way, the whole thing about Jesus is that Joseph and Mary never had sex. Well, that's only what the story's been for the last 2,000 years. There's a political campaign to be run here. And look, let's get all the way down to the ground on this. I don't care if it is Mitch McConnell saying, if the charges proved to be true, he should withdraw, or Jeff Flake, who's a fine, decent, upstanding man, we were repeatedly told, saying, absolutely he should withdraw, or John McCain saying, this is depraved and disgusting, I think he should... No. All of those Republicans, those prominent Republican members of the Senate, said, if the charges turn out to be true, well, there aren't any charges. Okay, let's be clear about that. This is simply a matter of four women who did not know each other coming forward and telling the their stories of what was done to them when they were relatively young girls by a 32 to 34-year-old skeevy dude. And I understand what Steve says about it's too politically a long time ago, and you probably I know you'll get this, Steve, and anybody at Billable Rick will get this too. Sometimes there are fact patterns that are too damn bizarre not to be true. I've heard that from people who've been on juries. That story was so weird, there was no way it couldn't be true. You could not imagine that. You could not make it up. And for me, I believe these, not just because I despise Roy Moore and wouldn't pee in his goddamn mouth if his goddamn guts were on fire, but because the story itself is too bizarre not to be true. What do I mean by this? Well, first of all, it's not it doesn't have the necessary sensationalism to it to really get the job done. This just opens questions. If Steve in New York there, if you want to say that somebody planted this, don't hesitate to add that the Moore campaign planted this. If we're going to go down the it's a planted story rabbit hole, and I don't hate you for it, Steve. But if we're going to go down that rabbit hole, let's at least entertain the possibility that Roy Moore's people planted it, because all of a sudden this is an exciting campaign in Alabama when it could have been a sleeper that just wound up with Doug Jones being in the Senate. Yes, indeed. Steve saying, the you can't make this shit up theory. That's the technical term for Occam's razor. And it does shave mighty close, doesn't it? We had mention of Occam's razor in a different context. We're talking about it in terms of mountaintop removal, because the coal industry always says, well, you know, there's just too many variables out there. We can't prove that it's mountaintop removal that's killing people and poisoning people. Maybe it's their diet. Maybe it's their cigarette smoking. Maybe it's all that liquor they drink. Maybe it's the fact that they're just dumb hillbillies who can't help committing incest. Because the coal industry said that. They really did. They blamed the birth defects in Appalachian mountaintop removal communities on incest. But then you look up and you go, maybe it's setting off millions of pounds of high explosives over people's heads every day of their lives for 15 years. That can't have, there can't be a good or even neutral outcome from that. Occam's razor. But let me delve into this a little further. Just how bizarre this story is. It doesn't have the sensation of Bob Ewell walking around the corner and saying, and there he was, a-ruttin' on my mailer. It's not there. There's no penetration. There's no allegation of screaming or no. It just, but they all share common elements. They all happened at the Gadsden Mall, where young Roy Moore would go and walk and walk and walk and walk every day. The main story, however, does differ in that regard, in that he was walking the halls of the Etowah County, Alabama courthouse when he saw a mother and daughter. sitting outside waiting to go into a hearing. And I guess he took a shine to the little girl. And said, now, Mama, you can just leave her with me. She don't need to see that stuff going on in there. It ain't going to be no good for her. I'll take care of her. Within a couple of weeks, she's having secretive phone calls with him, and it's kind of exciting because he's an older man. And she's meeting him around the corner from her house so Mama won't know who's picking her up. And he gives her booze the first time, and they kiss. You're going to say that like that now. Well, he kissed. It's a two-syllable word. Kissed. And then on the second rendezvous, he takes her out to his house out in the woods, which is, again, weird. Where he gets her down to her bra and panties. Remember, she's 14. And then he shows up, goes out of the room and comes back, and he ain't got nothing on but his tidy whities. And he sets to... And, you know, if it was a fake story, she would have said, and he put his hand in my panties and touched me in my no-no place. Or he put his hand under my bra and you know. But she said he touched her over her underwear, and then he put her hand on his underwear. You know, I remember when we ran a guy out of Congress for just sending pictures of his little soldier in his underwear. Sickening, perverted Democrats. Yeah. Because, you know, there had to. There was photographic proof, right? Yeah. Of course, then there's the Alabama governor who had to resign his office because... And got thrown out as a deacon now at the First Baptist Church at Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Tuscaloosa First Baptist Church, or however you want to say it, got thrown out as a deacon and had to resign as governor of the state of Alabama because, well, there was a recording on a phone of him down to Gulf Shores there, the Redneck Riviera, and what could be heard was, well, honey, if we're going to be doing any more of this, we're going to have to learn to close the door. I just love to touch your breastises and like this when we're together. Again, external evidence, right? In this case, you've just got a woman who used to be a little 14-year-old girl who got groped by a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual. Who'd come back from Vietnam after getting his military commission at West Point, came home there to Gadsden, got a job as an assistant district attorney, who, by the way, there's this too, who, by the way, when he went to law school at the University of Alabama, known to attendees thereof as the Capstone, when he went to law school down there, Crawford Melton was in his class. And he's a lawyer in Alabama. And Crawford Melton said he was Looney Tunes from the beginning, speaking of Roy Moore. He didn't mince any words in that regard. Joe Patrice has the story over at Above the Law. And he documents the fact that in the New Yorker magazine, a guy named Charles Bethay has gotten an oral history of Roy Moore's law school years. Now, this would be before he was 32 years old. And not a single person, as Joe Patrice writes, not a single person that Charles Bethay spoke to would admit that they're going to vote for Roy Moore. He was described as a doofus. But the best story of all comes from his criminal law professor. Professor McGee. Early on in criminal law, Professor McGee called on Roy Tolamore. And this kind of thing can happen in a law school classroom. And having called on him to stand up, Moore did. And, for the entire hour, McGee kept him standing and talking. Finally, at the end of the hour, Professor McGee said to him, "Mr. Moore, I've been teaching in this school for 30 years, and in all of that time, you're the most mixed-up person I've ever taught. I'm going to call you Fruit Salad." Fruit salad. And in fact, it stuck. People who knew of that incident have been referring to him as Fruit Salad Moore, or perhaps Moore Fruit Salad, ever since. So he gets his law degree, becomes a member of the State Bar of Alabama, and then goes home to Etowah County and becomes an assistant district attorney. And develops a penchant for looking at all the young lovelies in the mall. Here's where it gets even weirder. He met the one young lady cruising in the hallway of the courthouse outside of a custody hearing. The other girls he met in the mall. One at an earring place? One of those little mini stores that sort of sit in the middle of the walkway of the mall. I've been in the Etowah Mall once, I think. But this is the one that did it, that just pushed it over the top for me. It was the Christmas season there in Gadsden and everywhere else in the United States. And, of course, Roy Moore is a proud proponent of the Christian nation idea of America. He's a bold and brave warrior in the soldier in the war on Christmas. Going to make us all say Merry Christmas, you know. Me, I'm going to celebrate the holidays this year by saying all holidays matter. But it was around Christmas time because Santa was holding court in the Gadsden Mall. I can't imagine what it must be to be a mall Santa. Getting peed on and screamed at and spat on and puked on. Little babies that don't necessarily even know what Santa is, and mommy and daddy just want that first Santa picture. No. Just doesn't quite have the same romance that it had with all the junior Santas there in Miracle on 34th Street, right? Where the young kid hopes to someday be as good a Santa as Chris. Yes, we can, as a matter of fact. Asa asks, can we please get a retroactive cowbell to the professor, Professor McGee, for dubbing Roy Tolamore fruit salad? Oh, that's good. And I agree. Now, this is Roy Moore, who once said, we need to outlaw homosexuality so that we can protect our precious children. Just a reminder. But, you know, Santa's there, and he's always got Santa's helper. There's always some, you know, mid-teenage girl who needs a little extra money during the holiday season. And so they deck her out in a pair of red tights and give her a little short green dress with some jingle bells sewn on it and a little Santa hat. Or it's a red dress with green tights or something. But she's an elf. She's one of Santa's little elves. And in this story, one of the girls that he tried to pick up, and for some reason or another, I haven't seen anybody making anything in particular out of this, but Jesus Christ, you want to run creepy up to 11? This one goes to 11. This is it. Roy Tolamore, more fruit salad, actually hit on Santa's helper. Who, by the way, was a young thing. But she's a young thing and cannot leave her mother. No more singing. He hit on the little girl in the short dress with the colored tights. Doing the Santa's helper gig. This guy's worried about guys having sex with guys and women having sex with women. Apparently he likes to get it on with elves. Whoa. So we've got all of this. And there's just one more thing. This is all taking place long about when more fruit salad is about 32 years old. Now, people like him who have a church home, they got a church home. Do you have a church home? Well, why don't you come over some Sunday? We'd like to be your church home. People like him who have a church home often wind up marrying inside their church home. And then there's a big wedding at the church. Sometimes it doesn't happen, though, because anywhere that you are a lot, they'll kind of sort you out. And maybe it wasn't working so well at his church home, and that's why he wound up cruising the mall. I don't ever want to hear another story, another critique by some right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, ammosexual, talking about how, well, you know, them homosexuals, they do things in the bathrooms. I don't never want to hear that, not no more, no how, no way, never again. Uh-uh. Because, because when you're cruising the mall, when you're down to cruising the mall at 32 years old, and you're cruising for people more than half your age, well, you get the idea. But if you're still not convinced, there's one last thing. Can we agree that serial killers often like to kill the same way? They like to use the same method, the same modus operandi. Because in many ways, humans, even the ones that aren't serial killers, are creatures of habit. We'll take the same route to the grocery store. We go through the same ritual when we get up in the morning and we go into, you know, and we shave and we shower and we brush our teeth and you do things in order. You might even have a way that you go about making your coffee in the morning. Do you pour the water in the reservoir first, or do you take care of the basket before you? Right. Do you put the cream in, if you use cream and sugar in your coffee? Do you put the cream and the sugar in the bottom and let the hot coffee come in on top, or do you put it on top and let it? Right. We tend to do things the same way repeatedly. And so here we have four young women who did not know each other, who describe the same action, the same performance, the same methodology, never having conferred with one another. We have four women who say, wait a minute, there's five. Did you notice that? It's not four women, there's five. Because there's also Mrs. Moore. The woman to whom he has somehow managed to remain married. Well, you know, the money started rolling in and it was a pretty good gig. There's Mrs. Moore. Roy Tola Moore got upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, Christian values, family values, married to his wife when he was 38 years old. No big deal. A lot of people wait till later in life. Some people married right out of high school. Some of them married in high school. Some wait till after college. Some wait till they've got a good job where they know that they can support a family. And then they get... And some people wait till they're 30. I was 30 when I got married. My parents were each 39. It was their second time around, though. Well, Roy Moore got married when he was 38 years old. And there's nothing damning or shameful or anything in that. I mean, he's 38, she's 35. Yeah, but that's the problem. She wasn't 35. She was 24. In other words, she fits the profile. When he was 32 and trolling the mall, 8 minus 6 is 2, 14 minus 6, yeah. She was 18. She was too old for him. But there's an 8, there's a 14 year, no, wait a minute, no. Yeah, there's a 14-year age difference. She was 24 years old. Math on the fly, you know. She was 24 years old when he married her when he was 38. Now, if you took this fact pattern and you applied it to anybody else out there, let alone some Democrat. If this was a Democrat, the Republicans would be howling from the rooftops, yelling everything short of crucify him, and perhaps that too. which brings us to the ultimate point of this, I guess. I've said for a very long time that Republicans care more about power and party than they do their country or the morals which they so loudly proclaim. If there is any doubt whatsoever now of the truth of that assertion, I don't know what would convince you. If this was a Democrat, that Democrat would have been hounded out of the race before 24 hours had passed from the allegations. Oh, and one other thing. I believe them. Because these aren't criminal charges. The standard of proof is not beyond a reasonable doubt. There is no standard of proof whatsoever. The only standard of proof that applies is the same standard of proof that applies in a neighborhood or in a church. Or on a softball field. Or in a hotel room. Or in a shack out in the woods. And every one of these Republicans who has said, well, if the charges prove to be true, you either believe the young women or you do not. One more thing as regards to why these women would just come forward. 5 years ago, they wouldn't have. They didn't when he was running twice for Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. They didn't when he was running for governor of Alabama. Why not? Because something is changing in this country. And it changed with the Weinstein revelations and the Spacey revelations and now the Louis C.K. revelations. And all the other revelations that have come about of women finally refusing to remain silent. Had those revelations and the Me Too hashtag not taken on such a prominence in our cultural consciousness, these women would not have spoken up. Oh, that's you get one of those, Arthur. Some people go to bars. Roy Moore goes to the Build-A-Bear or the One Direction show. Yeah. Make that lurch noise. Ugh. So, I believe them. And despite the fact that the response of the Moore campaign and the Republicans was in Alabama was to say, well, I would believe Vladimir Putin before I'd believe the Washington Post bunch of liberals. Because that got said. Which is going to be interesting if the PP tape ever comes out. If that thing's ever released, that guy's going to be in a spot. Because that'll be Vladimir Putin saying it, not the Washington Post. And he's already said he'd believe Vladimir Putin. Another Republican in Alabama said, well, I'm going to vote for Roy Moore, not because I condone what he done, but because I don't want for Doug to be in the Senate. In other words, his politics and access to political power are more important than either his religion or letting a kitty diddler have a pass. This isn't a Donald Trump problem, although Donald Trump is part of the problem. Donald Trump, the White House said, if these charges prove true, I'm sure Judge Moore will do the right thing and step aside. Well, there were no charges. I mean, Donald Trump stood there and admitted that he sexually assaults, sexually abuses women, and grabs them by their genitals. Nobody said that about him. He said it about himself. And sometimes I just have to kiss him, and I moved on her like a bitch. You can do that when you're famous. Grab him by the pussy. Wow. They are all, and see, this is the thing. They are all in the hands of the goddess of irony. So I think this story is real. But the problem is, he's not going to step aside because Republicans value power more than anything else. And he is now more likely to be elected to the Senate than he was before the allegations broke. Because he's climbed up on the cross and nailed and driven the nails himself and cried and hosannaed while he did it. And the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee has walked away from their fundraising agreement with him, but the Republican National Committee hasn't, and the Alabama Republican Party hasn't. I told you that this race was going to be a big deal. Here it is. I was right again. So I believe the women. And until and unless Republicans, you know the one, okay, here's one for you. If these charges are proven to be true, he should step down. How are you going to prove it? He said they're not true. Well, if the Washington Post deliberately published something that was not true, knowing it was not true, then Roy Moore should sue the Washington Post because he'll win. Defamation of character. Roy Moore will not sue the Washington Post. You know why? Because in a suit such as that, truth is an absolute defense. That's why he won't sue. That's why he'll merely deny. The fact that he doesn't sue is every bit as good as an admission. Remember how when the Harvey Weinstein story first broke, his first response, well, I'm going to sue the New York Times, by God. And then he decided not to, because truth is an absolute defense. He done it. Republicans in Alabama are proud that he done it. And the one thing that matters most, no one in the Senate will say. No Republican in the Senate will say this, and it doesn't matter what the Democrats say. No Republican in the Senate will say, if he is elected, we will refuse to seat him. This is a man who's already been thrown out of an elected position twice. As Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. The only thing that matters would be for Mitch McConnell to say, I will move not to seat Roy Moore if he wins this election. And I don't think a court could compel the Senate to do that, because the Senate has its own rules. And if they refuse to seat, or if they expel a member, it's their rules. So that's pretty much the my take on Roy Moore. What's going to be interesting is to find out if it makes his election more likely or less. Yeah, you're right. Silent R. Lamar says, okay, Bob, that's a bridge too far. It is a bridge too far. It is too much to ask Mitch McConnell to run the risk of giving up his power. Because Doug Jones becomes a senator, then it only takes two more. Assuming that all the Democrats get reelected. That's another story entirely. And that's why you're not hearing that said. If John McCain would come out and say, I will move that we not seat him. And Jeff Flake said, yeah, me too. And Susan Collins said, no way can I move. Nope, I won't vote. I'll vote not to seat him. It would constitute something approaching an actual coup against, not Roy Moore, but against Mitch McConnell. And they ain't going to do that. Jeff Flake will be gone as of January 2019, but he's got stuff he wants to accomplish. And remember, these people are only good at Parthian shots. And the Parthian shots they take, firing them over their shoulders, riding away, are made with rubber-tipped arrows. So that's the back from D.C. filibobster. It's time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. I heartily encourage one and all to participate if you wish. And we'll see who does want to come out and play. Did White Rose and Tune In ever come around? Anybody want to tell me that? That'd be great. Thanks. So, yeah, break time. And I got the perfect song for this. Oh, yes, I do. From a long time back. You've heard it before. But, God, it doesn't. This is our buddy Burns Lawler. And it don't get any better than this. This is The Horn. Well, I'll be dipped. Hold on. Let's see if we can make it happen another way. Some kind of audio problem here, and I don't know what it is. Okay, still no White Rose. All right. This is the curse of, you know, making it in the door at like half hour before the program. When things have gone sideways in your absence, there's no way to deal with them. Well, let's see if we can get something going in this direction. Really? I've been waiting on this. I've been planning this. some days you get the bear, and some days the bear gets you. What in the world is... Well, that's something we're just going to have to sort out later. Okay, you know what we're going to do? No break. No Alabama Jesus. It's not the heat, it's the stupidity. And over the weekend, I'll figure out what the hell isn't working here, what went south while I was gone. With that being the case, though, let's check in with Sparky over on, on Skype with the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Hey, Sparky. Well, we'll do that in a minute. There we are. Sparky heard the Bob signal. All right, are we there? Hey, Sparky.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no song, sorry.
You screwed me all up with no music. And then my young friend from across the street's over here exercising the dog.
Yeah, it didn't do me any good either. I had that all lined up, and then it wouldn't play. So, yeah, go figure. Well, how's everything out your way since I've been gone?
Wet.
Really? Is that a good thing or a bad thing at this point?
It's a good thing. But it just rained a little bit a while ago. I had a beautiful rainbow out the door here over on the foothills, but it got all it's dark outside there now. But the sun is across half the pasture, and the cows are in the pasture, but there's no rainbow now. No rain. But anyway, it poured the other night. So winter is here for us.
Otherwise known as the rainy season. I think Silent R. Lamar wants into the conversation, Sparky, if you can find him out there, because I can't do anything about it here.
Okay. Move on to Rick, then. I'll see if I can find him. Or Steve.
Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we heard from Steve. Hey, Steve, what's happening, man?
Bob, what's going on, man?
There he is.
Yeah, you always catch me at the most inopportune time. You know, I heard Duncan say, well, move on to Rick, so I thought I would talk to a man about a mule.
No, like I said, you've been gone for two Fridays, so, you know, you're up.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's good to hear from you, Bob. You've been missed sorely, my friend.
Well, thank you kindly. Any big doings?
Oh, not too much, other than I finally got some real internet speed out here. That makes me very happy. No more three down, one up. You know, I'm now at 50-10, so...
All right, wait. You got wit of Windsqueam?
No, Windsqueam finally come around and upgraded their network to fiber optic. And it's only $5 more a month. Now, try to wrap your head around that.
I that's one of those gift horses you don't look in the mouth.
I can get an 8 gigabyte game file now in 10 minutes, and it used to take me 2 days. So I'm just really, really pleased over that.
Very nice.
So you really think that this guy in Alabama, they're going to run him out of town? I think they'll vote him in anyhow.
Wait. Did I say that? I didn't say that. I said I think it's more. No, this was going to be a low turnout sleeper election where whoever won the get out the vote battle won the election. Now the Baptists are going to come out because a Christian is being persecuted for his beliefs.
And somebody honestly had the audacity to say, Mary was fiddling around with Joseph, and they was about that age group. I was like, yeah, but wasn't that an immaculate conception? I mean,
Mary didn't have sex, and you know what else? Joseph didn't grope her over her panties either. Of course, there weren't any panties back then, but you get the there weren't bras either. Joseph didn't grope her over her burlap robe.
Her pantaloons or whatever the hell they wore. And they made some other asinine comparisons, biblical comparisons. Well, I mean, that these people can just rationalize anything. And it just blows my mind. And, you know, you had Trump saying, oh, grab him by the pussy, and we still elected him, so I don't really hold out much hope.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Steve. I've got another biblical analogy that they should have used. Hey, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Hey, lay it on us.
Yeah, thanks for hopping in, bro.
How about Lot and his daughters? Huh?
That's my favorite Bible story.
Yeah. Yeah. Forget about Jesus and Mary.
Lo, there are no more men, and we shall not have husbands, nor will we have children. Yea, verily, sister, let us get daddy liquored up and jump his aged bones.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, these Christian freaks don't really care. Look who they elected president. I mean, is Donald Trump a Christian? No way, you know? Now, does it make Roy Tolamore more likely to get elected? I don't know. I think I think the Christian conservatives doubled down in supporting him, but they were going to vote for him anyway, Bob.
No. He only won his runoff with 7.5% with 55% of a 15% turnout. It was going to be a low turnout affair, and Doug Jones wasn't supposed to have a chance. But the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee was pouring money in when they saw that Jones had pulled up close to even.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's a persecuted Christian being persecuted by the liberal Washington Times and the liberal Democrats and the mainstream Republicans. And how's a poor boy to survive something like that? Only Jesus and Southern Baptist voters can make sure that justice is done.
Oh, jeez.
I guarantee double T you. If you walk into the First Baptist Church of Birmingham, the First Baptist Church of Huntsville, the First Baptist Church of Mobile, the First Baptist Church of Montgomery, the First Baptist Church of Florence, Sheffield, Muscle Shoals, and Tuscumbia, and the First Baptist Church of Busted Knuckle, Alabama. Every one of them will be talking about the persecution of our godly senatorial candidate, Roy Moore, who has always stood up for Jeebus and needs us now more than ever. You think I'm joking?
No, you're not. No, you know your peeps, Bob. I'm just laughing because, you know, all of the congregations down there and how they think, you know?
Oh, yeah, Church of Christ will be out there, too.
Oh, jeez. So he's, like, nailed right in, as you say, basically.
He is. He's
juiced in, yeah.
Look, the fundraising email went out from the Roy Moore campaign within hours of this story breaking.
Hillary!
The liberal Democrats are trying to destroy me with the politics of personal destruction.
Mm. Well,
and even if he did hang his head in shame, doesn't the governor then have the right to appoint whoever he wants?
I can't say it dispositively, but I don't think so.
No,
it's too late in the game.
Too late. Okay. I heard somebody say that when you're within like 70 days of an election or whatever, you can't change the ballot, or 72 days or some kind of number.
Now, what could happen is that if he withdrew, then, say, Big Luther could come
Strange
along.
Strange could be as a write-in.
As a write-in. But Alabama election laws being what they are, they're probably as squirrely as Alaska. Remember how careful people had to be in Alaska to spell Murkowski right? She won her last Senate campaign, or she won a Senate campaign after losing the Republican nomination. She won on a write-in.
Yeah, I remember that very well.
Somebody could mount, say, Big Luther, could mount a write-in campaign. And I don't put that outside the realm of possibility. Or even, hey, what about Les Brains Mo Brooks? Remember, he's the one who came in third in the original Republican senatorial special primary. He might be interested in running a write-in campaign. In anything resembling a normal, not totally dysfunctional political climate, Doug Jones would wind up getting elected. But Alabama ain't normal.
And everything's went crazy. I mean, you got Louis K. Black, and they're all trying to make these equivalent.
No, Louis C.K. Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. All right. Well, you know.
No, Louis Black is a different guy.
Yeah, well, I'm tired. But they're all making these equivalencies, and there's another guy that played on the Netflix special as the president. What the hell was his name? Stacy or somebody? Or
Kevin Spacey is your
Kevin. Yes. Yeah, and he got caught diddling. I mean, they're all getting caught diddling now, and now it's the Hollywood elite.
That's what the fundies are going to say. It's a conspiracy by the Hollywood elite because they're trying to deflect attention from the fact that they're the ones that are doing all the, you know, pederasty or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
At least Lewis came out and publicly said, yeah, I did it. I was wrong, and I'm ashamed of it. I was in a position of power, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
At least he had the balls to say that, which, you know, still what he did was despicable. There's no question about it.
Well, the women he did it to knew he had balls because he, by God, showed them to him.
he asked them, you want to see it?
I've got something that's absolutely cowbell worthy here coming from Steve in New York. He said, how you deflate this? Tell them down in Alabama that Muhammad had a 14-year-old wife. Roy was just like Muhammad.
Oh, there you go.
That's restaurant quality right there. Yes, indeed. But, the refuse to seat part is the one that most intrigues me. Because Mitch McConnell would, for all intents and purposes, be, any Republican, every one of whom
That's right.
enjoys their power. I mean, we're talking about people not being committee chairs anymore. I mean, and they love the cameras. You know, John McCain and Lindsey Graham love being chased by those cameras and talking to the cameras, and they wouldn't have any reason to be chased anymore because they'd just be members of the minority.
And there is a backhanded rumor, and I don't know how much truth is, that Mitch is the one that got the ball rolling on this pedophilia from Alabama.
Well,
because he doesn't want to work with him.
I got one more. I mean, okay, if we're going to go down that little garden path, let's go with our running shoes on. What if it was Trump? Think about it.
Well, yeah.
Trump was furious that Luther Strange lost. Trump went down and campaigned for Strange. Trump started the whole NFL flag business at a campaign rally for Big Luther Strange. There's nobody more pissed off at Roy Moore than Donald Trump. And he's got far, well, no, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made there. The fact that the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee cut ties today it does kind of point the fickle finger of fate at McConnell, though. You're right. But why, you know, because let's play Columbo with this.
America people.
No, let's play. No, not Limbaugh. Let's play.
That was my McTurtle impression. America people.
No, let's play Columbo with this. Yeah, just okay. just one more question there, sir. Just one more question. Why would Mitch McConnell endanger his own majority status? Does he feel that confident that he can that whoever runs in Arizona can beat Kristen Sinema? She's pretty well liked. Is he absolutely rock solid convinced that Nevadans are not going to punish Dean Heller for voting to take away their fucking health care? See, that's why there's too much at stake. Now there's a wrinkle in here. And that is, if the people of West Virginia manage to fuck themselves, and we're kind of good at that, and Joe Manchin is no longer a member of the United States Senate, what about Paula Jean? Sorry, she's not going to get past the primary, folks. But if Joe Manchin does not go to the Senate, does not return to the Senate, then that makes McConnell a little bit safer. Or maybe he's already got a deal with Manchin. Who knows?
But this is
entirely too dangerous. I mean, this is lighting the fuse of a stick of dynamite and then spitting on your fingers and hoping you can get them back around the fuse in time to put it out before it blows up.
The whole thing gets even more hairballier. I know that's not a word, because Stephen Bannon, he wants McConnell gone. I mean, they hate each other with the heat of a thousand swords, you know?
Oh, wait. We got a correction for Stephen New York. Brother Deacon Asa says, actually, Stephen New York, Fatima was 9 when Muhammad tapped her. At 14, she'd have been too old. Asa also advises us, don't say Mount and Roy Moore in the same sentence, Bob, please. Thank you. I'll take that straight to heart.
It is an ugly visual. Thanks. But the whole thing, getting back to the point I was trying to make, is this is really getting convoluted.
Well, it is, but that's the way. The more convoluted it is, the more it works to Roy Moore's benefit. If you take the bare essential facts that he apparently had an MO, he cruised the mall, and he looked for vulnerable little girls. There's no little girl, and I'm sorry, 14 is still a little girl.
It's a baby. Yeah, it is.
There are parts of the world and parts of America where that ain't necessarily true, but we're not going to discuss that.
You won't rewind to pioneer days, but hell, we only lived to be 28, 30 years old. I mean,
right. So. If you stick with the basics, that he preyed upon impressionable, vulnerable little girls, and that 6 years later he married one. No, 24 is not a little girl, but 14 years older than her. How did that love blossom? Just asking. He's got, well, okay, hey, Billable Rick, it's lawyer time.
Okay.
Isn't there a concept called pattern and practice?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's also a concept called it's similar to the signature idea that if certain, you know, crimes are so closely related to others, you can use that as evidence to show that you may have committed the given crime in question. That's used with serial killers, those sorts of cases. You know, like if they always kill their victims in the same way, and, you know,
right.
You see that on the detective shows and so forth, the crime shows. So, yes, there is, definitely. I'd like to know where he met his wife, if he met her at the Gadsden Mall.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she was one of Santa's elves.
Okay. Let me just go there. I mean, I read the story, and the creepering on Santa's helper part. Just grossed me the hell out.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's totally gross. Oh.
Hey, baby, you want to see my candy cane?
That's something that Billy Bob Thornton would do in Bad Santa. Bob,
wait a minute, I don't even get a fucking cowbell for that.
You do.
You want to come over and listen to my Jerry Lee Lewis Christmas carols?
Oh, my God. Yeah, right. He had a 13-year-old wife, right? Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Scott and Punky with a note. Hollywood elite my ass. The so-called godless Hollywood elite immediately spoke out against Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K. upon hearing allegations against them. Meanwhile, the so-called Christian righties stand firm, to mescent even, with Roy Moore. You do the math. but see, I keep telling you, not you, not y'all in the group, but I keep saying, there's this concept among the evangelicals such that if you are in their favor, all you got to do is say, he ain't perfect. He ain't perfect. Just saved.
Yeah.
Because they have a theology that says you can do anything to anybody, and as long as you say, because you know there's no priest to get in the way anymore, you don't have to gargle with holy water or anything, or you just say, forgive me, Jesus, for creepering on Santa's little helper.
Oh, God.
And then you get, you are forgiven. And it's all good. It's all good.
It's like magic, Bob. How does that work?
Well, there we go. It is.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
And you know, any good Baptist preacher can stand in the pulpit this Sunday and say, I just wanna remind y'all as we listen to these scurrilous tales of personal destruction being meted out to a good and honest and decent Christian man. I want y'all to remember the 23rd Psalm. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Brothers and sisters, King David was talking about the heap of troubles he was in back then. And Saul was saying terrible, terrible, scurrilous, lieful things about David. And that's what he was saying to the Lord. He was saying, I'm sitting here at a table surrounded by people who hate my guts, God. And my cup's running over. I got so much I can't keep up with it. But thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we got to trust in God's rod and God's staff
to comfort Roy Moore when he's sitting in the Senate, because we went out and voted on December 12th to send a righteous, godly man who has been slandered by the liberal media to Washington. How's that sound?
Amen, Bob. Praise the Lord.
And then there's Romans 3:23. They love them some Romans there in the Baptist church. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes, but Jesus, he's awaiting right there for us, just to saying, call on me. And I'll be there, and I'll forgive you, and I'll wash you white as snow. Now, Roy Moore didn't even do this, but Roy has a close personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I ain't going to have no problem, neither will you, when you go out and vote for Roy Moore. Because remember one of Donald Trump's campaign promises? He was going to repeal the pulpit rule. They'll be able to politic till hell won't hold them from the pulpit, and the IRS won't do a damn thing. Mm-hmm. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what we all are. We're all sinners. Brothers, sisters, as we begin the benediction here, I just want you to remember. Oh, wait a minute! I was about to do the altar call. I'm sorry. You never really get over that kind of thing. But you see, it's how it works. And you're going to have a whole lot of decent, upstanding, real. Come out to the polls to stop him. And I don't know if it will. And Roy's wife is Kayla. And they've claimed that they have evidence that there was collusion in putting forward this information. Here, somebody named Ruth V. Martin went on Facebook and posted this, and Kayla Moore shared it. Even Steve, this will speak to you, being how you one of them Georgians. Even though we Georgians have no skin in this game except to pray and support a godly conservative Christian who's being falsely slandered. Wait a minute. We're going to have that's one of them word-knowing moments. Rick, can I check in with you? If you're being falsely slandered, what does that mean?
It's kind of a double...
Isn't that like multiplying negatives and you get a positive?
Yeah.
A slander is an untruth, so a false slander would be a truth. Oh,
yeah, well, false equals true.
Well,
sure,
there
sure.
On Facebook, Ruth V. Martin is in the hands of the goddess of irony. A conservative Christian who's being falsely slandered, please share, if you will, in a show of solidarity for a real statesman, not a blind, weak politician who kowtows to every whim of the rhinos or Democrat leftist machine. This nation desperately needs a true constitutional conservative who will not bow the knee to Baal. How about that? I didn't know they had a statue of Baal in the Senate. Son of a bitch. Yeah, it's probably that eyeball on top of that pyramid on the back of the dollar bill. We, the people, got it, get exactly who we deserve. So, Alabama, here's your chance to make a huge difference for our government and the people of the United States of America. Let's really make America great again. Please, Alabama, show your support for Judge Roy Moore at the polls. And now, Kayla Moore, who does not want her own story to be told, Kayla Moore is claiming that the Washington Post bribed these women.
I have heard the same sentiment mentioned on that show that I keep listening to, and I know it's painful, Washington Journal this morning, there must have been at least a dozen calls saying, we don't care if he did it. We just don't care. We would rather elect him knowing who he is than put in some Democrat.
Who's going to take Christ? Who wants to take Christ out of the public square? At least we'll be able to have nativity scenes on the courthouse lawn if we got Roy Moore.
And say Merry Christmas.
All holidays matter.
We're in a hell of a mess. We're in a hell of a mess. But I don't know.
One of his accusers worked as a sign language interpreter for Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. And Kayla Moore, who does not want anybody digging into that past, said she shared an article that says Deborah Gibson is not only a passionate progressive, but she has actually worked for the DNC and is actively campaigning for Moore's opponent, Doug Jones.
Oh, man, you better check her head for horn nupples.
Roy Moore will win big. Buckle up, rhinos. Time to meet a real man.
She's got that little pistol with the rose on it he likes to wave around, so he's got them in the bag. It doesn't matter.
Well, we can hope. I mean,
it's depressing. Rick, have you kept up with the Mueller investigation? Is there any new breaks on that, or?
I'm not really. I mean, the only thing I heard of this week was that I guess attention has turned towards Michael Flynn and his son, and Michael Flynn Sr. apparently is worried about his son being charged. It's probably a prosecution tactic to try to get Flynn to play ball and cooperate with the investigation, is my guess.
We need an indirect or even a direct connection back to Trump that leads back to Pence. We can take over the House and I can dream and, you know, fill in the blanks. And that's what Bob said months ago, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, we need to do that. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's the only hope for
solution. Pence is no solution. I mean, you know, even Trump, it's going to be hard as hell to get him out of the office, you know.
Right. Well,
because he's got such a hardcore of support, even though it keeps dwindling. I mean, the militant nature of the support he has, you know. So.
And what laws has he broken? Now, I don't mean to sound like an idiot when I say that, you know, but what laws can be proven that he has seriously broken?
Well,
the implications. I mean, there's parameters, things that he should have did, but.
Well, you can't accept anything of value from a foreign government in connection with your campaign or a foreign agent. And so as far as the hacked Hillary emails, I mean, if we can show that, I mean, just the timing of things, you know, like the, you know, after that meeting occurred in Trump Tower, like within a few days after that, then you had the first big, release of the LikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks, I will love WikiLeaks. If you have anything, please release it. You'll be mightily rewarded by the press.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Right.
So that's a crime, is what you're saying.
Well, if you're accepting, he's accepted something of value from the from a foreign government in connection with his campaign. You know?
How about encouraging it? Is the act of encouraging something like that a crime?
Well, that could be like a conspiracy if you have an overt act in furtherance of it, and they have that meeting at Trump Tower, and he's sending his underlings to Russia to try and see what kind of dirt they have on Hillary and what have you, you know?
Hey, speaking of which, didn't he look just dapper? And I'm talking here about Kaiser Kumquat. Didn't he just look dapper in his Viet Cong pajama shirt today or yesterday?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, you know, it was at the APEC meeting, and they always make him wear some local garment.
I remember when Obama had to wear one of those, and everybody, the right wing was, like, making fun of him mercilessly and
well,
all of that.
Apparently, bone spurs didn't stop him from going to Vietnam this time. the Tangerine Tiberius. And the special costume for this trip was, you know, just that black button front looked just like a Viet Cong black pajama top. Hey, it's Steve in New York with New York in the background. What's happening, man?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I have a question. Why do we care if he committed a crime?
Who?
Trump. Steve from down Georgia way mentioned him committing a crime. Why do we care?
Well, I want something provable so we can get him the hell out of there. That's why I care.
You don't need a crime to be impeached. They can impeach him for anything.
Yeah, high crimes and misdemeanors does not mean a code violation.
Oh. Okay.
It's a term of art from a former age.
Yeah, we talked about this. It's from the Magna Carta. It just means bringing disgrace upon the office or abuse of power. I think we already have abuse of power with the Comey firing. We have abuse of power with, I mean, he's been very open about what he's done. It's not like it's a secret.
Well, the interview with Lester Holt alone should be enough if you're going to use those parameters.
Yeah. I mean, if Bill Clinton is the standard, there's no question. You know what? I have to tell you, my biggest fear, the single biggest fear, is he's impeached and not removed from office. Then he's stronger than ever and basically unbeatable at that point.
Oh, God, yeah, he's emboldened to the point where we'll never get him out.
That's my fear.
Actually, that's my fear, and then the fact that there won't be any good Russian Imperial Stouts available this winter.
Because of the sanctions, right, Steve?
I don't know. All I know is that the bar that I normally go to has been really thin on the stouts here the last few weeks. Too many IPAs. IPAs are not winter beer.
No, they're not.
Oh, I saw something, did not purchase it. From a brewery in Richmond, I saw a Russian Imperial gingerbread stout.
Oh.
Yeah, flavored.
Sounds good to me.
Flavored with ginger instead of hops. Oh, yeah.
A little nutmeg probably in there?
Eh, maybe. Yeah, possibly.
By the way, I haven't been listening too hard, but how was the trip to D.C., Bob?
It was good, and it was productive, and it was a lot of hard work. We, in advance of the briefing, we flyered 250 House and Senate offices.
Excellent.
One by one. That day, those 2 days taken together, I think we walked a total of about 8 miles. Eight miles each.
Wow. Do they still have the subways that go from Capitol to each house?
Yeah, but mere mortals can't take it.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it always that way, or did I mean, I took it all the time. I wonder if that was because I was a member of staff.
It is because you were staff.
Okay.
You're talking about special subways that... House members?
There's a subway that runs between the House side of Capitol Hill and the Senate side.
Oh, okay.
And you're there.
Hmm.
Hoi polloi has to hoof it. Oh, very nice, very nice. Cowbell for Brother Deacon Asa. You're absolutely right, Brother Bob. Trump did look dapper in his Viet Cong pajamas this morning. One could say he was Putin on the Ritz. Ah! Tough crowd, not even a giggle.
I was laughing. I was just on mute.
Oh, okay. As long as you were laughing on mute, that's cool.
Yes, that was freaking funny.
Putin on the Ritz.
And by the way, Muhammad had 11 wives, and one of them was 14. Actually, Fatima was He also had one that was betrothed to him when she was 5. That was Aisha.
No comment.
Yeah, but anyway, I just find this whole thing so disgusting because, and I think I emailed this, or maybe it's in my brain. Can you imagine, just replace Barack Obama with the name Roy Moore and see what would happen?
Well, hell, I mean, they accused him of being married to a transsexual for 8 years.
God.
Well, I mean, they accused him for 8 years of being married to a transsexual. There's one of those, another one of those word-knowing moments, but you get the meaning. Yeah. I still see right-wing posts that refer to the former First Lady as Michael Obama. But really,
you know what, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, please.
You know, I've said it a million times. I had a lot of issues with him, but as the guy who picked you up in your car said, history is going to treat Obama much, much better than he was treated during his 8 years. If nothing else, you know, we always hear the GOP talking about bringing class and grace back to the Oval Office. Those two and the whole family were class and grace personified, probably more than we've seen in an awfully long time, and we'll see in an awfully long time.
Oh, by the way, just in case anybody's wondering, and since I've got two lawyers at the round table this evening, you know, there are admissions and there are admissions. Roy Moore wasted no time going on the radio program of that life support system for a haircut, namely Sean Hannity job. And Sean asked him, you know, just tossing softballs for him to try to hit out of the park. And Roy had it. When you're in the hand, when you're in the palm of the goddess of irony, you know, it's not gonna work out well. These allegations are completely false and misleading, but more than that, it hurts me personally because, you know, I'm a father. I have one daughter. I have 5 granddaughters, and that's a concern for young ladies. It is a concern for young ladies that he has 5 granddaughters. Because he may have been practicing on them. Anyway. With regard to the other girls, you understand, this is 40 years ago after my return from the military. I dated a lot of young ladies. Because, you know, he's a real stud muffin, that Roy Moore. And he said he recognized their names. Because he remembered their maiden names. And then he said, and then Hannity says, you don't specifically remember having a girlfriend that was in her late teens even at that time? I don't remember that, and I don't remember ever dating any girl without the permission of her mother. Okay, I'll start it. Rick, Steve, you're both standing in front of the jury. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, fill in the blank.
He's admitted it.
Yeah, I was just like, he just admitted exactly what the story
asking
was.
Asking permission to date from the mother, it's like, you know, that tells me that they're not of a majority age, right?
Right, he's saying he went out with the young lady, but he got permission from her mama. That means, so what it was the part of the story that's not true is that she snuck out of the house and met him around the corner.
Jeez.
Not the part where he got her down to her bra and panties and gave her a good feel up. And then he said, wait, counselors, obviously we never had any sexual activity. There was never anything like that. And the behavior was altogether appropriate.
He doth protest too much, Bob.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I remember my dad talking one time about what made Watergate so interesting was what they started denying things that nobody accused them of, which is what he's doing there. Nobody accused him of that.
I mean, did he consider it a date to take him out to his shack in the woods?
What a perv. I mean, just a disgusting. Ugh.
Well, I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, you know, these evangelicals are probably the weirdest people in the world from a sexual standpoint. You
okay,
know?
this would be the time to remember that Alabama and Utah lead the nation in porn downloads. Just saying.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, talk about heavily repressed. Oh, my God. I can't imagine, you know?
Right.
I mean, for those folks, it doesn't matter whether there is a hell or not, because they're living in it anyway, you know? They basically have built their own prisons.
And apparently, they're kind of fond of it. I guess it can get that way, get that weird.
Right. I mean, just think of, you know, chains and whips and leather and all that stuff, right?
Well, and then who released the survey a while back of what states, let me see if I can find it. Most popular porn searches by state. Yeah, there it is. Sorry. Alabama's favorite porn search is lesbian. So, okay. I'm sorry, I still just love this map. Oregon, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Colorado, and Idaho, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, and West Virginia are all, and Alabama, are all lesbian. That's the number, that's the most searched porn term on Pornhub. Montana and Wyoming, though, and Minnesota, sorry, Steve, in New York, and Ohio, the most searched term is stepsister. Yeah, don't be feeling too good about yourself there in South Dakota, Washington, New Hampshire, or Kentucky, though. The most searched term there is stepmom.
Oh, God.
Wrap your head around this. It's still illegal to buy a sex toy or a dildo in Alabama. Against the law.
Of course it is. That's why we wrote a song about it.
Wrap your head around that, you know.
Oh, the most searched term in Rhode Island is MILF. But really, I think the House Cup has to go to Vermont, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Nebraska. Cartoon.
But why would sex toys be illegal? Is it the state legislation?
Yeah, it's.
They don't want their junk being replaced by some synthetic superior.
No, that's they don't. No. Ain't nobody needs to be self pleasuring with no toys. If you're having sex and you're having it to make babies, that's the way God intended it. Nothing else. Everything else is sin.
I think you're being facetious, Bob.
No, I am not.
Step further.
No, I am not.
I think they don't want to feel inadequate by a big old, you know, synthetic dong.
Okay, you can make the argument that they keep them illegal to keep good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, and amosexual, fundamentalist Republicans from getting busted with them. Because remember, the song itself It was based on a story out of Alabama many years ago of an associate of Jerry Falwell, who was a minister at a huge Baptist church in Montgomery, who, when his wife returned home from a trip to see her mama and daddy, found him dead with two wetsuits on, a belt around his neck, and dildos in his mouth and his bottom. To a Family Values Republican, those things are more dangerous than firearms.
Mm. Jeez. I talk again now.
We lost their way.
Shop work is over. Shop class is adjourned.
Mm. Ah, teaching, was it?
Yeah, my 12-year-old neighbor was helping me build something.
Ah, nice. You're a good neighbor.
I try to be.
Meanwhile, note coming in from Jack in Shreveport. What's the deal about asking the mother for permission to date the daughter? Isn't the normal deal that the guy asks the father of the girl? Did Moore specifically look for girls in homes with single mothers? Well, you know, there he was, cruising divorce court in Etowah County. And in one of the cases, he asked Mama because Mama worked right there at the pagoda in the mall. Mind if I date your daughter in a very Christian way? I'd like to get to know her. And of course, he doesn't say, like Adam knew Eve.
In the biblical sense.
Yes. Great googly moogly. But I think pedophiles have profiles. And ask anybody who's a specialist in pedophilia, they will tell you that grooming is a key part of it. And getting in good with mama or mama and daddy or daddy is part of the grooming. That's how so many kids wind up getting abused by church youth pastors. I guess we lost Steve. I'm sorry about that, because
yeah,
it's
he's
interesting. Well, Steve's skeptical about all this, and this right. is precisely why I believe it. There are too many earmarks. There's too much smoke not to have a blaze going on. Oh, but I did want to go back to what Steve said to Steve about, you know, Trump committing a crime. Remember the impeachment of Bill Clinton, Steve?
Yes, sir.
And
it was because he lied under oath, and that's why they impeached him.
Yeah,
it wasn't the actual act itself.
Yeah,
so they say.
Right. See, if you ask it, if you say to a wingnut, well, you know, they impeached Bill Clinton for a blowjob. That wasn't why it was. It was because he lied under oath. He committed perjury. Well, perjury is a crime. Bill Clinton was never charged with a crime. He was charged with a civil. He wasn't charged. He was alleged to have committed a civil, not criminal, act. So that doesn't even wash.
And that was in a civil case, too. But Steve also made a valid point. If we go for this impeachment thing and he's acquitted, think how emboldened this orange asshole is going to feel.
Well, that's why
it just scares the hell out of me.
Why it will not happen. Members of Congress, more than anything else, know how to count votes. Now, it did not matter to the Republicans back in the 90s. They didn't give a damn. The House Republicans were going to impeach Bill Clinton, period. Hell or high water. But with Trump, they'll count votes. And so, you know, you've got probably 46 votes to impeach on the Democratic side. And that's, you know, minus Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin, because if you count on them, you can't count on them. But then if you've got enough to get to 67, which means you'd need 21 Republicans, then you can convict. And that isn't, and those are numbers that'll be counted before any proceedings are ever even initiated in the House.
They'll never have those numbers, Bob.
And the number 2/3 keeps rolling around in my head. Somebody fill in the blank. Does it take 2/3 for actual conviction?
Two-thirds to convict in the Senate.
Right. Two-thirds of convict.
That's 67.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, just to bring up charges, it's just simple majority, correct?
That's in the House, yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. It's confusing. It's not, but we don't go here that often.
Well, think about it in terms of indictment versus prosecution. An indictment only takes a simple majority of the grand jury.
Right.
The prosecution, you've got to, in order to convict, you've got to have proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
And how are we going to get 2/3 of the Senate?
Well, you're not going to get 2/3. This is an interesting question. I just thought of this. What if the House votes to, let's say the House turns Democratic in 2018 after the elections, okay? And let's say that a majority of the House votes to impeach Trump. Then it goes to the Senate. Does the Senate have to take up the House's indictment, we'll call it, or the impeachment of Trump? Can it just sit on it and do nothing with it? I suppose it could.
I guess it could. Just like we never imagined that the Senate would simply not act on a presidential appointment.
Right. Right. Yeah, there really are no rules. The rules are whatever McConnell says they are, essentially. So
it's not McConnell.
Right. That's true. But I really don't see the Democrats taking the Senate. That would be really, I'd be totally gobsmacked if that happened.
Well,
if
every Democrat keeps their seat, plus Angus King and Bernie,
mm-hmm.
then you've got to win 3 Republican seats.
Okay.
If you could get Doug Jones, then you're down to Arizona and Nevada. Dean Heller in Nevada and open seat in Arizona.
Doug Jones would serve until when? Till 2020 or?
He serves out the remainder of Sessions' term.
I wonder what is Sessions' term right now?
Stand by.
Yeah.
Use that high speed to search something now, Steve.
Okay, so he'd be up in 2020.
Okay. So he'd have to win again.
Yeah.
Which could be difficult in a more normal type of an election.
Well, but the thing is, we're talking about 2018.
Right. That's true. We are. Never
Plus,
mind.
Plus, remember, you've got an open seat in Tennessee now.
Right, with Corker. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
I mean, I was the one who said the Senate was a non-starter, and then was, you know, the turn of events proved me wrong.
Well, yeah, you have people unexpectedly retiring.
they will wear the hell out of Dean Heller for voting to take people's health care away.
Yeah, he's gonna go.
And right now the only person they've got running in the Republican primary for Jeff Flake's seat is that one woman whose claim to fame is having lost in the primary to John McCain previously. And being a dabbler in chemtrails.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Katie something, I think. I'm not sure. Trump has tweeted about her.
So, you know, the possibility, it's an outside shot. It's a punch. Mm-hmm. It's a puncher's chance. Okay.
It's, you got to give it a shot.
You get the one shot through onto the jaw and everything changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, you would have to hope that some Republicans in the Senate would have a come to Jesus moment and put country before party. And I just,
hold on. I mean, the one thing we have not talked about this evening is what happened on Tuesday.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. I've been meaning to bring it up. It's in my notes here.
The election of Northam over Gillespie, to me, wasn't as much of a shock as seeing the Virginia Democrats take the damn House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's still a one-vote Republican majority in the Senate, I think. The Senate still has a Republican majority, but just having the Democrats own the House is a big damn deal.
The Virginia House, obviously. Yeah.
The House of Delegates.
They call it the House of Delegates, I guess, what they call it.
Yeah, same.
There were a lot of grassroots local victories by the Dems that, you know, nobody really talks about. Because
newcomers, total novices that just won, you know, won elections.
Well,
for
look at the fiance, or I don't think they were married. Remember the TV news reporter who got gunned down in.
On live TV. Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
That.
Yes.
Yeah, he won.
Yeah.
In a very, very red county.
Yeah.
And he won as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to Michael Moore, if we have any hope, that's where it's all going to start. You know, is at these low level positions. You know, board education.
Well, in the long term, you've got to develop a bench.
Right. Exactly. Sort of like a farm club, I guess, is maybe a better way of putting it. Even, you know.
Well, yeah, or you know, a pitching rotation. If you've got a lights out starter with a 0.0002 ERA, that don't matter a hill of beans if starters 2, 3, 4, and 5 have a combined ERA of 19.
Oh, jeez.
Or an average ERA, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have some depth in your bench.
Yeah.
So by the way, speaking of benches, the Mountaineers survived against Iowa State. It was another week of kneeling ball, running up a nice lead, and then watching it all just go away while apparently the first string decided to stay on the bus and drink.
They were saved by an early whistle on a play where the Iowa State running back was loose and would have run for a touchdown. Would have tied the game up, Bob.
I know.
That was the game right there.
Hey, my Dogs are undefeated in the SEC. They're playing Alabama tomorrow. That'll be a barn burner.
Wow.
You can tune it in, man.
That'll be a good one.
3:30. Yes, sir.
Okay.
We'll bowl some peanuts, put them in the crock pot tonight.
So 12:30 Pacific time.
I got a feeling Ugg is going to be crying at the end of that day.
Stop it, Bob. You're always bringing me down, man.
Roll Tide, baby. Roll Tide.
Whoa, don't bring me down.
I went to the capstone.
The only castle's burning. Yeah, it ought to be a great game, though. I mean, the Dogs are just on fire this year, man.
I'm going for the Dogs. I'm sorry, Bob. I have to root for the underdog.
Number one.
I have to go for the underdog.
Well, you know what? I could be proven wrong, but I don't.
Where is it? Georgia and Alabama? The game. If it's in Alabama, it'll be tough for Georgia to win that one. But if it's a home game, you know, that home crowd can make a difference. Hey, how about those Iowa Hawkeyes whipping Ohio State by 31 points? Woo! What a whipping!
Yeah, that's probably maybe why. Well, I just got a note from Steve in New York. He said, sorry I had to step off. Got to get a contract done. But a couple more things. I think it's arguable that Clinton did not commit perjury, even if he lied, because his lie about sex with Monica is probably not even relevant to whether he raped or assaulted Paula Jones. On another note, I would like to see endless hearings, even if the House never impeaches. Yeah, because that would grind their agenda to a halt. Steve's right in that regard, and he's right. You know, it's not perjury if you say it's got to be relevant. If you say, "What's your name?" and he says, "Bill Clinton," and they say, "Is Bill short for William?" and he says, "Yes," and the guy then says, "What's the wing speed velocity of an unladen swallow?" and Clinton says 9.8, and that's not true, and he knows it's not. It's still not perjury because it's not relevant.
Yeah, the word is material. It's not a material mistake, essentially.
Right, and see, that's the thing. Once again, criminal law was not used in the impeachment of Bill Clinton. They impeached him because they wanted to impeach him when a criminal charge would have been thrown out.
Yeah.
And right, that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, another thing to keep in mind that, you know, of course he's going to lie about having an extramarital affair. What guy wouldn't lie in that situation, you know? So he was kind of being it was a gentlemanly lie to tell, if you want to call it that. I mean, I'm not saying that what he did was right, but, you know, gentlemen are not supposed to talk about that kind of thing, you know, when right. they're asked about it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we've got a very important correction here.
War Eagle.
Yeah.
Not Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be at Auburn.
And you know, that's an ancient rivalry.
That goes back to the 1800s.
No, it goes back. Seriously. It goes back Google to Heisman. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not Alabama and Georgia this weekend. That's going to be down the road. That's going to be the title game, possibly. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It'll be a bowl game. Tomorrow it's against Auburn, which they're from Alabama. So.
Well, the War Eagles are they've stepped up their game.
Well, you know, yeah, War Eagle. And you know, it's funny. I talked about that busload of people from Alabama. One little kid got on the elevator and he had his Auburn shirt on. And I just looked at him and said, "War Eagle." And his mama looked at me and I said, "Roll Tide to you, ma'am." And she smiled.
Smart man. So, Bobby, you still sticking firm with Auburn, huh? Even though the parameters have changed.
No, I'm just rooting for him.
Why would you do that? I thought we were friends, man.
Well, we are friends, but Georgia has no business being at number one in the first place. They need to get out of the way and let the real number one back where they belong. The only reason they moved them is they didn't want Alabama to be a wire-to-wire national champion.
Create a little excitement, I guess, in the sport, huh? Is that the idea?
All I can say is stay tuned.
Especially since the No Fun League has been such a lousy season so far, you know?
Yeah. Trivia question, and I was the first college where Heisman coached.
Well, it's probably Alabama. I don't know, though.
Auburn.
Auburn. Oh, okay.
But I'm going to have fun with it.
Because there's a Heisman connection both at Auburn and at Georgia.
Was Heisman Jewish by chance, Bob?
I don't think so.
Okay.
John Heisman. It's just... let's see. Coached at Auburn in 1895. He was their fifth head coach.
And how do you get the trophy named after him? Did he, like, win the first Heisman Trophy, Bob, or what?
No. That was the Downtown Athletic Club.
I know. I know. I'm being silly there.
Let's see. I'm trying to...
I don't see here. He was the athletics director of the Downtown Athletic Club, and they started giving the award away in 1935, and it was originally to the best football player east of the Mississippi. Oh, and the first, and then it was expanded to the whole country. And when he, after he died in 1936, they named the award after him. And as Steve points out, the first college he coached was Oberlin in Ohio.
Oh, there you go.
I was just going to say that when you said Auburn.
Hey, Steve, sorry for my gloating earlier.
Oh, gloat away.
I just can't remember Iowa ever beating Ohio State.
What the hell happened, Steve? I didn't
watch the game, honestly. I was doing other stuff. I knew I had a feeling though that Ohio State was going to lose. And I started thinking about is Ohio State, is Iowa that good? Is the Big Ten that even? Is JT Barrett that inconsistent? Because the way he looked in that Penn State game was, I just frankly thought, wow, because I watched the Penn State game, that to me was just, it was beautiful to watch.
I think some of it may be let down.
I think that was part of it too. But I don't know. I mean, I'll say this, and I know it's so uncivilized for us to talk about college football and sports and all that. It's just, us regular folk, we're not, drinking tea with our pinky sticking up and whatever.
Speak for yourself.
No kidding. but I mean, I've watched a lot of football. I thought that. I just thought the Penn State game was that last part of the third quarter and the fourth quarter. It was just some of the most, I mean, like I said, is beautiful. It just was, you know what I'm talking about, Bob, when you see someone who just in the zone and they just, the last time I remember seeing something so that I thought was so beautiful was when, I'm not saying this because they beat Alabama, was in 2014 when Ohio State just ran over everybody in the playoff. You had a quarterback who never took a snap in a game in his life, play three games and just dominate the three teams that they beat. It's just, I don't know, when I see that stuff, I just find it almost elegant to be able to see somebody who just, for whatever reason, does everything right. And Barrett in that game, it just struck me as that.
That's like Forrest Gump quarterbacking his team to the national championship, kind of, Steve, I guess, right?
Well, I don't know if I would equate JT Barrett with Forrest Gump.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, in terms of...
You know what I'm saying, Bob? It's just when you see those performances, it just... It's graceful.
Well, but you know what? When I see something like this, I tend to look at, it's one thing if you, lose by a point the next week or something like that.
Uh-huh.
When you get shellacked
by an unranked team,
that's coaching. And if I recall correctly, Pope Urban had a couple of those at Florida too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You may be getting near to another Urban meltdown.
I don't know. I mean,
well, again, let's talk about Iowa though. They were leading Penn State until the very last play of the game. It was like fourth and goal, and Penn State won with a pass in the end zone that like got past like, two safety guys that had their arms stretched out. It was just a perfect pass. There was, so really by all rights, Iowa very easily could have beat Penn State. So they're, and they also beat Iowa State, which obviously just lost to the Mountaineers, but beat Oklahoma. So, I mean, Iowa has a pretty decent team this year.
Well, but that's okay. We'll completely ruin that whole thing, Rick, when we get,
pounded into the turf by Oklahoma. Then it won't make any sense at all. Yeah, well, Iowa State beat them, but we beat Iowa State, and Oklahoma beat the snot out of us.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I think this has actually been kind of a weird year. If you think about, Clemson goes to Syracuse and gets beat. Ohio State beats Penn State, then gets trounced at Iowa the next week. There's a couple other ones too. Well, not to mention the one that was a 7 overtime game. Oklahoma trounces Ohio State in Columbus, and then loses to it lost to nobody.
They lost to Iowa State.
I thought they lost to somebody else though.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I thought they lost to somebody else, and then Northwestern beat Michigan State. It's just, let me tell you again, this is the thing that I really like about college football, is it really is unpredictable week to week.
I get a hell of a lot more fun out of watching it than I do the NFL. But I've been that way for years.
They have a lot more latitude as far as being able to hit a lot harder. The NFL, they've had to turn it back so far now. I mean, every play, it seems like they're throwing a flag, helmet to helmet.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I think the same thing. And I have to ask a question. I remember growing up, pass interference seemed to be pretty much, if you touch the receiver, it was pass interference. Now, I can't figure out what pass interference is, because I see them touching each other and pushing each other.
That's
almost like they're square dancing, and you know, as long as they're square, both square dancing, it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Just wait a couple of months till college basketball gets going real good, and you'll realize that the rule against traveling is simply not enforced.
Oh yeah, it's not enforced. Right. It's not enforced. There's no way a person can not dribble from the top of the key and dunk, and you go, I just counted 4 or 5 steps there. Can you tell me what I'm missing?
Don't believe your lying eyes, Steve. Come on. You can't believe your lying eyes.
Sometimes they're airborne.
It's an apple. It's not a banana, Steve, okay? Or no, it's a banana, not an apple, rather.
Right. By the way, I appreciate we've kept the politics to a minimum. I don't know. I'm just sick of it. Although Tuesday was nice, but for the most part, maybe I'm rare here, but I'm just so sick of it. I can't. It's 100 times worse than I ever thought it would be, and I just can't stand to talk about it for more than 10 minutes.
It's almost like Chinese water torture, Steve. It seems like it just never ends, you know?
Except it's not drip, drip, drip. It's pour, pour, pour.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like being waterboarded, in perpetuity.
Yes. But yeah. Instead of water, they're pouring
hot wax or something, huh?
Well, I was going to say, goat urine down my throat.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez. Oh, sorry for those folks who are listening while they watch their – while they eat their dinner, but that's the way it is, folks. You should have eaten earlier.
Well, on another subject, tomorrow is my day.
What do you mean your day? It's not your birthday, is it?
No, it's Veterans Day.
Oh, Veterans Day. I didn't even realize. Or also called Armistice Day, as it was officially called. Or first called.
Well, thanks for your service, Sparky.
Yes, thank you. Do we all know why it was called Armistice Day or where it comes from?
Yeah, World War One. Yeah.
You know, the ceasefire was
11th hour of the 11th month, yeah.
It was even more than that. It was 11 minutes after the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month.
And probably 11 seconds as well, and probably 0.11 seconds as well as far as the decimals. Although I don't think they had clocks that were that accurate back then, so it was probably just 11 seconds. Yeah, that was the so-called Great War, you know?
Did the term take it to 11 come from there?
I think so. Yeah, yeah, that's where Spinal Tap got that idea.
Yes, but it goes to 11.
Hey, speaking of music, Bob, I decided I couldn't pass up seeing the 40th anniversary show of the Year of the Cat album at a small dining club, essentially, a dinner club. And so I bought tickets to go see Al Stewart next Saturday night at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano. So,
well, I'll set up a news alert.
And, yeah, I'm going with my friend Star there. That'll be fun. I've been dating her for about a month now, so... real neat gal. So, yeah, I thought I would just let you know that. And then actually Jerry, so Al, I see Jerry Lee Lewis 6 days after I see Al Stewart. So, you know, so we'll just have to be on the watch, I suppose. I think the guy from the V-52s is still alive last time I checked. So,
well, I'm not going on the road anymore for a while. So we should be clear in that regard.
Okay.
Were you on the road on Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it qualifies.
Hey, listen, all, I really have to get going this time, but I just wanted to say have a good weekend, and it's good to hear everybody again, and I'm glad you're back safe, Bob, and I'm glad the last few days were productive and that at least you're moving the ball forward a little bit.
I think we really are. We had some good meetings, and like I said before, anybody who's on Twitter, just go to my feed, and the video of the briefing that we put on is available for you for viewing. Right. There.
Is that the one John Yarmuth was at?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, even though it's way too slow, I think it's one step closer to saving an awful lot of people in hillbilly country. And I don't say that in a derisive way. I see it in a very positive way.
Well, thanks, Steve. It's always good to hear from you. You know, you always bring a lot of intelligent input to the conversation.
Oh, no. you're only saying that because it's true.
No, well, yeah. I can't argue with a lawyer, so.
Yeah, you can.
Have a good one.
Thanks,
bro. Have a good one, Steve.
Yeah, you too. Take care, everyone.
I got a light show going on up north here.
You got some lightning and stuff?
Yeah, and they're bowling up in the sky, too.
Cool.
Rolling thunder.
Cool. We could use some of that in Southern Cal.
Well, didn't you get rain the other day?
Yeah, it didn't rain that much. It was fairly light, you know, just kind of drizzling, you know, that the usual crap like that, you know.
Okay, because I saw Jimmy Kimmel where he does the thing on the street thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was the sidewalks were all wet.
Yeah, we had you know, we maybe had a tenth of an inch, maybe not even that. It wasn't that much, you know. But at least it was, you know, at least we got something, you know. Just enough to put out the fires, hopefully, you know, and keep them out.
Well, fire season, I don't know. They've pretty much declared it over up here, I would think.
Yeah, probably if you guys are getting a lot of rain. But, you know, it's pretty much become year-round in California almost, you know. You know, except maybe not from November to what, March or whatever, you know, maybe May, I don't know, but pretty much at least more well over half the year you've got a very good chance of having fires, you know.
Yeah, down south.
Yeah, they're down south. Yeah, I'll tell you, those damn Chinese, they sure are, you know, effective at perpetrating that hoax, you know.
Like climate change with the bark beetles and all.
Oh, speaking of which, did anybody happen to catch the confirmation hearing of the head of the Council on Environmental Quality?
Oh, with Senator Whitehouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Good God, that woman's dumber than a box of hammers.
Hammers, yeah. She didn't have any science background, but yet she wants the job.
Well, and
is
she's
that
heard
the one
that
you're referring to?
Yeah, and she's heard that there's some controversy, but she hasn't. She can't do the math. And what do you mean? What do you mean? There's water in the ocean? Yeah. See. Yeah.
Your dog is saying that. Your dog knows more than that, Dom.
Man, that's a big dog. Is that yours, Bob?
No, that's Grady.
Grady.
Oh, okay.
That's Grady, the shop dog.
That dog sounds like he'll eat you, man.
Well, that's the beauty of a Labrador Retriever is the sweetest dog on earth, but they sound like monsters. And all that big loud bark means is I want you to play with me.
Yeah.
He's hearing the thunder.
He's freaking out.
And I got the north door open, and then you might be able to see some of the lightning once in a while. I got it open just a crack because I was just over there listening.
So, Bob, what was your takeaway from that hearing?
She'll be confirmed because she's an idiot. It's not like they want anybody inside. Jesus Christ. Okay, here's another one. This one just kind of made me want to run outside and tear at my hair and run rabbits and bark. You noticed the story about the purge of science advisors at the EPA, right?
Yes.
If you're an actual scientist doing science and you're getting paid by the EPA, you can't advise the EPA about the science they've been paying you to do. That makes sense. Well, so there are going to be replacement advisors. And of course, you know, they're all industry hacks. But there's hacks and then there's hacks. So the guy who's going to be the science advisor to the EPA comes from University of California, Irvine, okay? His name is Robert Phelan. I haven't given out a hockey puck warning for this evening, so here it is. Robert Phelan of the University of California, Irvine, is a new science board member. He has argued that current air quality in the United States is too clean for optimum health.
Jeez.
Now tell that to the kid downwind of a coal-fired power plant who can't go anywhere without a rescue inhaler in his pocket because the particulates in the air throw him into asthmatic spasms. Tell that to the people who live below mountaintop removal operations who get all dead and stuff because the air is too clean for optimum health in the United States. Holy shit. I read that and you think you've lost your ability to be shocked by these goons, and then you get this. Great googly moogly. Amazing. Just amazing.
I wonder what the guy has a degree in.
Apparently, he has an advanced degree in brown nose.
I would have said ass hattery. But hey.
No, he's obviously got some sort of degree in his air, you know, air issues.
Environmental science.
Well, they're slowly dismantling all the agencies. I mean, it's horrible what they're doing to the State Department and the Department of Education.
It's not even that slowly. They're just, you know, seems pretty quick to me.
Oh, and there was a weird story about jobs in the Department of Education now that I just half scanned and didn't. It was just enough to make. Whoop, really? Yeah. As Devin points out, facts, colors, shapes, and empirical data have all crossed the event horizon of the memory hole. Time, gravity, laws of physics, cause and effect no longer apply. The EPA is now the BPA, the Bible Protection Agency. Jesus God. Oh, and I got a note from, and this is an interesting development. I got a note from Thomas in response to the question about anything new on the Mueller front. And this is interesting. Turns out that, people are beginning to go through the Papadopoulos filings. And he claims that he lied to the FBI out of his sense of loyalty to Donald Trump. And that he didn't want to embarrass Trump after Trump said nobody in the campaign had contact with the Russians, so he just lied to the FBI. Only thing is, now he's a little bit unhappy because he's being hung out to dry by the Trump administration. And that's got a kind of a Watergate flavor to it. The guy who was in charge of the Watergate burglary basically refused to take the fall by himself. And that's how the Watergate scandal, the Watergate crimes, got legs. So, you know, watch this space.
Bob, I noticed that Horn Labs is not promoting anything tonight. Why is that?
The scientists were on the road too.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I mean, there's only so much concocting of bullshit nutritional supplements you can do in the third row backseat of a Nissan Armada. I got upgraded. upgraded and downgraded at the same time. I was supposed. I asked them for one thing. I said I need a sedan with power seats so I can adjust it so I'm not, you know, in total pain when I get out of the car where I'm going. Because I've been getting beat up a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they upgraded me. They upgraded me to a freaking Abrams tank of a vehicle. That got like 15 gallons to the mile.
Mm.
But my God, that thing was comfortable.
Mm.
I mean, I don't have a bad word to say about that vehicle.
Hey, Bob, can I jump in here for a minute?
Jump right in, Charlie.
I was listening to WTN this afternoon, and there was a lady called in, said she was from Alabama. And she was been a good friend of this woman ever since high school that supposedly, you know, that Roy Moore, the 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And basically she said all this was true. And she went through and she said that, first of all, Roy Moore, I think they were her and her mother were sitting outside the courtroom for a custody hearing, and her mother went in the courtroom, and Roy Moore said he would stay outside with her because she didn't need to hear all this. And she said that the 14-year-old used to sneak out of her house all the time. And she said that she sneaked out of her house and met up with Roy Moore, and said the first time there was some petting and kissing going on. And said it happened again, and he actually removed her outer clothing.
Yeah, that's what the Washington Post story reported. Yeah.
Yeah, it was about 5:47 on the Phil Valentine show, 5:47 Central Time here in Nashville, and the lady, everything she said corroborated what, you know, was in the other publications and all.
Well, like, and I said, so, I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's basically two people that have matching stories. So
yeah, and just applying a truth filter to it, I don't believe it because he's a Republican. I believe it because the story is. I believe it because it's believable.
Yeah,
I would.
I don't think it was actually any sex that went on between
them.
No,
there
them,
was
but,
there no, but it would have, had it been charged as a crime at the time, it would have constituted sexual abuse.
Right, right.
Yeah. Touching through the clothing. And see, if she was trying to come up with some sort of, if it was a lie, why would you stop with something as relatively inconsequential as that? If she had said that he had, because I'm not sure about the state of Alabama, but it might not have been a fel, it might not, there might not have been a statute of limitations on it if it had been a felony.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense to you, Rick?
Say that again, Bob.
If it had been a felony, there was a statute of limitations on what he did.
Right.
But if it had been felonious conduct like penetration, it would have been a felony, and there would have been no statute of limitations.
I think there is a statute of limitations on rape, even if it's of a minor, Bob.
Well, I mean, it depends on the jurisdiction.
Depends on the state. Yeah, some states have. Eliminated it, especially if it's against a minor. But other states have not. I mean, it was all, that was kind of the rage after the, the molestation incidents or the crisis in the within the Catholic Church. Lots of state legislatures, changed their limitations periods to, to increase, to basically either make it unlimited or gauge it like a certain number of years after the date of discovery, and these kids may not have known what was being done to them, so therefore it was only discovered after they got into therapy as adults and so forth,
Right, and as this woman has said, she said, at first she was kind of thrilled or excited because, she was being pursued by an older man and a lawyer to boot. But then,
right.
She said when he walked out of his bedroom in nothing but his tidy whities, and they got down to groping and kissing some more, and he put his hand on his tiny todger through his underwear, that she was completely freaked out, and she said stop it, and so he took her home.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a wonder she shouldn't. It's a wonder she didn't say, "Who are you going to satisfy with that?"
Well, she probably had nothing to compare it to at the time, Charlie. So I don't know if she would have said that. But yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me. I'm trying to remember the woman, the actress's name. And I'm looking for it here. She came out with this Piper Laurie. Piper Laurie. He invited her to his apartment. This was years and years and years ago. And she was not sexually experienced. She was way younger than he was. She was 18 in 1950, and he was 39. Oddly enough, about the same time gap.
Hmm.
And he took her back to his house and fried her a hamburger instead of taking her to dinner. That was part of how she remembered it. Complained about having to purchase condoms.
Oh, jeez.
And then told her, there's something wrong with you. You should have had many orgasms by now. After all this time, you've got to see a doctor.
Oh, jeez.
But funny how that story hasn't come back, with all the other Hollywood revelations going on. But, I mean, ew, skeevy. By the way, I've just had a quick note from the hardworking researchers at Horn Labs. That's right. For only $29.95, or for a 2 month supply, $61. You too can have the nutritional boost that comes from Radical Ramps. They'll give you rampaging rhinoplastic reaming. Radical Ramps, only from Horn Labs, and if you act now and order a 3 month supply for $95, we'll also send you a little bundle of test strips so that you can know with your very own eyes that Radical Ramps are do absolutely nothing for you. Another bullshit nutritional supplement from Horn Labs. Thank you. Thank you to hardworking Horn Labs research chemist Devin. And by the way, this just in, Devin says, no more Roy. Republicans pull both endorsement and funding from his campaign.
Well, he's still on the ballot, Bob.
He hasn't pulled his campaign.
Who pulled funding? Republican National Committee?
The RNC.
RNC?
Yeah.
Or Republican.
I know the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee pulled it. If I'm understanding Devin correctly, Republicans pull both endorsement and funding from his. I don't know if that's a further development or if that's just the RSCC.
Well, maybe he can run as an independent Republican then, Bob, like Lieberman did as an independent Democrat, if you remember that whole.
Well, yeah, and Lisa Murkowski as a write-in.
Right.
The latest from CNN is Alabama Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore says the allegations of sexual misconduct against him were completely false. These allegations are completely false and misleading. That's what he told Sean Hannity.
I believe the age of consent in Alabama is 16 years old, isn't it?
It is 16 years old, same as it is in West Virginia.
So 14's a little bit under that.
14 will get you 20 in Alabama, I guess.
Okay, let me see what. What Devin just sent me. Well, if I can ever get the damn thing to open. Here we go. Oh, yeah, that's creepy why Roy Moore supporters are standing by him in their own words. And interestingly, at least one Christian has spoken out against it. Prominent Christian missiologist Ed Stetzer wrote in Christianity Today to slam the supporters of Republican Senate nominee Roy Moore for the sheer foolishness of attempting to use the Bible to rationalize sexual assault. Simply put, it is important to make clear that Christians don't believe the message that is coming from some of Moore's supporters. Actually, most of us find it really creepy. He holds the Ed Stetzer, Ph.D., holds the Billy Graham Chair of Church, Mission, and Evangelism at Wheaton College. And that reminds me of one last thing before we head out the door. The one thing I most want to hear right now, anytime, just any minute now, I want to hear Franklin Graham on this particular issue. Dabsa-damn-lutely, I want to hear from Franklin Graham. I'm guessing we won't. But with that having been said, looky here. We had ourselves a Friday on the front porch, and it was a fundraising-free Friday on the front porch. Yay for all of that, and thanks to everybody. Got to get out of here now. Have a great weekend, everybody, and a new broadcast week will start this coming Monday, the 13th of November, with more on Monday. And again, happy Veterans Day observed today to everybody, to every veteran. And I imagine most of us have veterans to think of here and then and now and gone. So thanks to all of you who've supported the program. Thanks one and all. And thanks very kindly to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Steve from Georgistan and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia, who will be coming to the United States soon, by the way. That's exciting. Might actually finally get to meet John Fox. And thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. I got a note that White Rose is finally up and running again. Yay. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch on Facebook, and at Coal River MTN on Twitter. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good night, y'all.